Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey. Hi. Hi. Morning. Went to a family reunion yesterday with my cousins, Italian cousins. Fantastic. Just fantastic. And my mom and my brothers and sisters, just fantastic. Nothing better than being at home. My grandparents were Irish and Italian. As a result, we had Irish and Italian cousins. Massive, massive, massive group of Irish cousins. 44 first cousins, just on the Irish side, which thus the name Griffin. My mom's maiden name was Coda. So we went to South Park yesterday to a grove and had a nice family reunion with the Ramitos, my cousins, and Tommy and Lenny. Just so cool seeing family. I think our lives, some of the folks I hadn't seen in, I don't know, 10, 15 years. My cousin Lenny hired this old school one-person band, a woman who sung Italian songs, and it's just fantastic. I would expect or hope that folks out there who don't do this with their family, that step up and try. My mother's always been a big advocate. My father was always a big advocate of making certain we stayed in touch with family. My father is and always was the catalyst behind what's called the Griffin Open, which is in a couple weeks in Butler, actually, in this beautiful grove in Mars. And my father and mother firmly believe in the roots of family. And the older you get, the older I get, the more I realize the significance of it. Because when you go to a family reunion, you see folks that you haven't seen in 20 years, and you realize that this might be it. You might not see them again. And you hug them, and you touch base, and it means a lot. And everybody, in particular at this reunion, my cousin Jeannie, and for folks out there who know Bloomfield, she owned the restaurant in Bloomfield, the Seven Seas, for a long, long time. That's my cousin. And she was there yesterday. I hadn't seen her in several years. And I love her. She's and for folks who actually went to that restaurant in the day, the Seven Seas, if you've been in there, it was a couple things you were guaranteed. Jeannie is an unbelievable cook, unbelievably Italian, 100% committed to her business. And to her, what would the word be, folks out there who have gone and listened to her? She's colorful. Her vocabulary is very, very colorful. And she brought yesterday, my cousin Lenny and her brought to a, seriously, there weren't 50 people maybe, 50 plus, maybe 60. There were, I don't know, 150, 200 meatballs and just as much sausage. You know how Italians are? It's so funny when you go to a food event like that with Italians, and I've talked to my mother about this, you somehow, and I do the same thing when I'm at dinner with my mother or my family, you somehow feel as if you have to over-order everything. And so, and all of you folks that have gone to family reunions where it's all Italians, you know what I'm talking about. So let's say there were 55 of us there yesterday. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you there was enough food for 200 plus people. 200 plus. And this unbelievable solo act female band. It was amazing. And it's just such a pleasure to see family. And my cousin Jeannie hand rolled the meatballs and Leonard, and they made peppers and you just feel like a kid again. And my mom, who has you folks, as I have as well documented on the show, who has struggled with her health and obviously the loss of my father, my mom was out there dancing and enjoying family. And you can't replace that in a place and time. I heard after we left that one of the cousins who hadn't been around for 15 years came. He was separated from his family for who knows why people don't talk. And this happened a couple times yesterday. Folks who had not seen each other for more than a decade and might have been a bit sideways, they were speaking again and hugging again over a hot sausage sandwich with peppers and homemade meatballs, hand-rolled by magnificent cousin Jeannie Romito. All I'm suggesting to you folks is, and I know I've talked about this quite a bit to the point where it probably makes you sick, but man, you get one lap. And that's it. You get one lap. And that's when that lap's up, you're done. And when you go to these reunions and you see folks that you haven't seen 10, 15 years, maybe 20 years, you realize this is it. This is my lap. This is all we got is each other. And we have to enjoy these moments because these moments are that gust of wind that hits you in the face on a hot summer day. That warm drink on a cold winter night. That smell of flowers in the air as you walk through a park with your children holding hands. That's it. You get one shot. One. And when they're gone, they're gone. And I suggest to each and every one that ever listens to this show, if you are somehow sideways with a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, your mother, your dad, you got to man up. Even if it's their fault, which I get so sick of hearing as people try to place the blame game in life on whose fault it is that we don't speak anymore. I'm there face to face with my cousin Tommy yesterday and my cousin Lenny, and I'm thinking about when we were kids shooting a BB gun. My grandfather Vince's farm in Mars. And my son yesterday, Vince, who's 6 years old, has a shirt on that says V-Man, named after his grandfather, and everybody smile. And if you don't get that, you don't get life. Mr. Mangino, good morning, sir. Where are you, buddy?
Marty, I am at the Central Blood Bank. I'm giving blood today. Actually, I'm just right next door in Building 4. And they're having this big blood drive today that goes on from 10 o'clock this morning all the way through till 6 this evening. It's a big competition against KDKA and 93.7 The Fan. We're encouraging as many people as possible to come on by and give blood. It only takes an hour from the moment you walk through the door to the moment you're walking out. Just had my vitals taken and did a questionnaire, and now I'm off to give blood now at this point. Could be checking back in with you a little bit later on, but over the course of 1 hour, it's really simple. It's really easy. The staff is fantastic. And by giving blood today, you can help save the lives of as many as 3 people. So please stop on by and do what you can to help.
Well, what's Building 4? So for people who are just out there listening, where is that, man?
Well, it's in Foster Plaza. Okay. So you come to Foster Plaza, and it's 501 Holiday Drive. If you plug it into your GPS, 501 Holiday Drive. Building 4, Foster Plaza. There's signs out front to let you know Central Blood Bank. Come donate blood today.
All right, brother. Thanks, Mr. Mangino. Thanks. We'll see you again. He's absolutely right on. Hi. I really do not spend a lot of time. We spend a lot less time. I try to anyway on Trump, only because I think it gets you get a Trump fatigue. But the things that happen that I just find extraordinary. I find it offensive to the intellect of pretty massive group of intelligent Americans like yourselves when Trump says that the Secret Service should have this meeting that his son had during the campaign, this meeting that his son had with Russian folks during the campaign, that Trump's lawyer appeared on all the talk yesterday. Seems like a sharp guy. Seems like a good lawyer. Anyway, that he appealed on all the shows and he said that if the folks that Donnie Jr., is it appropriate to call him Donnie Jr.? People do. That if the folks that he was meeting with were so sleazy and smarmy and unscrupulous, why didn't the Secret Service vet them? which, by the way, they're supposed to do. Why didn't they vet them and say, hey, get out of here? In other words, protecting Donnie Boy from himself. Okay. Here's what troubles me most about Trump and his people and how they shoot and then ask questions. The truth is that he didn't have Secret Service protection at that time. They weren't around. So why can't... And it makes you wonder about every single discussion. Doesn't it? I mean, that's just ignorant by definition. It just is. It shows a real lack of knowledge. I mean, wouldn't you... If you're going to blame the Secret Service, somebody obviously got in a room and said, let's blame the Secret Service. It's their fault. They should have vetted these people, which is ridiculous. But wouldn't somebody have said, hey, aren't these brilliant people that Trump brought in? Wouldn't these brilliant people say, you know, sir, Donnie Jr. didn't have Secret Service protection at that time. So we can't blame the Secret Service. I mean, that's what I think. Well, somebody would have. I'm not necessarily believing that the lawyer should have known, but somebody told him this, right? And who passed that silliness along to him? And why do you care for the Trump folks that just write everything off that comes out of there? Well, it's an integrity issue, isn't it? It's a fact issue, isn't it? Yeah. And then here's another thing. And now you might consider this nitpicking, but Trump is declaring this Made in America Week. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. There was a great piece in the PG last week about a man here locally who developed this lubricant. And he pitched it to Walmart. And now he's killing it. I mean, he's knocking it out of the park. And Walmart's big deal is that you pitch to them, try and sell them your idea or your product, and they decide whether to use it. And they put it in all their stores, and they make you rich, and we buy his product, and it's made in America. This guy produces everything's produced in the U.S. Cans, everything. And my point is, so that's Walmart's shtick. They're trying to have more of an image of our products are from the U.S. because they're the largest employer in the country. And so that when you go in there, you believe that you're buying American, which we all like to do when we can. And it makes stands to reason that the president would declare this Made in America Week. But I tell you what troubles me about this. He seems to have made no effort. Now, if somebody can prove me wrong on this, he seems to have made no effort to divest or to move the products that have his name on it and his family's name on it back to the States. I mean, his shirts and ties, all made in China or Mexico. Remember he talked about using, and he talked about steel. He made steel such a big deal. Chinese dumping steel and let's open steel plants again. He campaigned on it. Yet the last several buildings built by Trump International were built with Chinese steel. And then last week it was reported this fashion line that Ivanka, his daughter, who seems very bright, seems very mature, that much of her clothing line is made by really low-wage folks in Bangladesh, Indonesia, and China. And when reporters asked his press people, they said, we'll get back to you on that. All I'm suggesting is there's this bizarre disconnect. So how would the president manage this? Hold a news conference, say, look, these are the products that my family is now selling, including my daughter, and that have our name on them. And here's what we're doing right now today to make them in the States. We are looking at property in Boston. We are looking at property in Cincinnati. We are looking at property in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. We're looking at property in Pittsburgh. Heck, we used it enough, Pittsburgh or Paris. And we're going to divest, and we're going to make it here. Even if it costs a little more, we're going to eat it. And that's, I mean, why wouldn't that make sense? From a PR standpoint, if you're a marketing-type person, if you do the right thing, why wouldn't they do that? And look, this isn't life and death stuff for me. There are bigger issues, right? But all I'm suggesting to you folks is that as we try to buy what this president is selling, and we want to, don't we? We want him to succeed. Why wouldn't he put a plan together that, and then release it to the media that he says he can't stand but can't stay away from? Why wouldn't he produce a list of everything that his daughter's clothing line is being made in Bangladesh, Indonesia, and China, and all of his clothing that's being made in Mexico and China, and say, within a year and a half, all of this will be made in Illinois? Why not? Why wouldn't that make sense? Instead, here's what happens. they announce Made in America Week, and then they get abused by everyone in the country because nothing they make is made in America. Silly season. Ain't nothing silly about Mangino. What's going on today, brother?
Hey, Marty, give blood today, or at least trying to give blood today. Here at the Central Blood Bank, we're in building for Foster Plaza 501 holiday drive with a big blood drive today. It's KDK Radio against 93.7 The Fan. Come in, give blood today, register to win some really cool prizes. But the real issue here is being able to try to elevate the blood supply. There is a critical need, not only across the country, but especially right here in Pittsburgh. And I tried giving blood today, found out I'm not going to be able to because of my trip last November to the Dominican Republic. And I just learned that only around 37% of the public is actually eligible to give blood. That's why it's so important that more and more of us are willing to step up to the plate to give it a try, to see if you can give, because there are many like me who was willing to, but they just can't use the blood out of abundance of caution. So please, if you're able to give blood, if you've not given blood for a while and you're willing to, you can save up to 3 people's lives today with a simple donation. It only takes an hour from the time you walk through the door all the way through the paperwork and the interview and the giving blood and the recovery process. So please stop on by 501 Holiday Drive, Building 4 right here in Foster Plaza.
All right, brother. Thanks, Mangino. Mm-hmm. Billy, boy, you know, Bill Sawyer. Yeah, he checked in. He's in love again, T. Yeah, he's going 5 weeks. He said, no, this is it. All right, man. I love him. One of my favorite people. We worked together for a long time. He's a fabulous journalist and photographer. He's very bright. But he has, what would the word be to you? History with relationships. So he's deep into a 3-week relationship right now and expecting us to have some sort of a fireworks display for him. But he tells me this is it. This is it, T. He's 4 weeks plus in. He's ready. He said he's whipped. All right, man. You know, we all have friends that they're single. He's pretty close to my age, and they're single. And when you see how they, what's the word? How they relate, you understand why they're single. Well, his issue is the little go-kart he rides around. Most women want a car. Anyway, we wish him all the luck in the world. Every week I send him a note. 4 weeks? 5 weeks? I'm not saying it's not going to work out. He said this is the best in 15 years, T. 15 years. One day I'll get a note, and it'll start like this. Can you believe that? Billy boy! Oh, I love. You know, and T understands this more than anybody. There's nothing quite as comfortable as being comfortable in both your skin and the relationship, my Dr. Phil moment. And most of our comfort level in relationships we reach when we are comfortable with ourselves. When we aren't comfortable with ourselves, in other words, we have our own issues, our own conflict, then we can never be comfortable with someone else. I'm not judging Billy. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. We've known each other for decades. Really. I love him to death. But when we finally reach a comfort level with ourselves, where we have a confidence in the next step we are taking in our personal life or professional life, then we can finally be comfortable in a relationship. When you meet folks that have been divorced 4 times, you can tell they have the same issues that they had when they were 12, growing up. And they're usually family-related. They're usually mommy-related or daddy-related, depending on the particular person. And it hinders their ability, because they're not at peace with themselves, it hinders their ability to be at peace with someone else. It's kind of Relationship 101, Dr. Phil 102. If you grew up in a family where mom and dad were both sitting in the room, if you grew up in the family where both mom and dad were influences, if you grew up in a family where mom and dad loved each other and you saw that, you're pretty much set. And the facts don't lie. There's reams of data out there suggesting this. I believe in keeping the family together at any cost, My beautiful daughters went to camp last week. It's interesting what you learn as a father. My girls are young. Wonderful camp, Conaqui. Unbelievable camp. It just builds spirit and leadership and camaraderie. But they're sitting there talking to me over the weekend. And one's 10 and one's 12. And they're talking about families and the girls in their cabins and their daddies and fighting and threats and depression and sex. 12-year-olds talking about sex and suicides. And I was overwhelmed with grief. And look, it's not as if, look, I'm a talk host. I've been in journalism for 30 years. I mean, we sit face to face with families that have imploded and the lives surrounding them imploding and divorce and incest and pedophilia and all the craziness, alcoholism, drug abuse, and how it rips apart at both the fabric of the family and the fabric of our society. And I, you know, firmly stated to my daughters this weekend as we're having these conversations, and they're not downgrading or denigrating anyone, they're just suggesting that my daughter said she cried. I mean, because these quote-unquote little girls are talking about depression and suicidal thoughts, and they're little girls. And then you drill down on it a little more, and it comes down to dad or mom and family and the family unit and the disintegration of that. And I have spent so much time in my life watching these settings and how folks are just blown apart by relationships that they see when they're 4 years old, 5 years old, or 6 years old. And I always go back to the blue soap, white soap story. And I was in Canada, and I met this young man who was a successful entrepreneur from Atlanta. We were in line waiting to do something. We're building businesses, and I was telling him, because he has two sons, and I was telling him my blue soap, white soap story, which you've heard, but I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. I was in the bathroom with my son. He used the toilet. I said, "Vincent, wash your hands." I said, "Use the white soap. It's almost gone. We'll throw it away when you're done." He says, "I want to use the green soap, Dad, the blue soap, Dad, because the blue soap is your soap." And he grabbed the blue soap. And I told this story to this young man who has two children, and he's in Atlanta. He said, "Man, my father was here this weekend." He said, "My father was here, and he was using green soap. And my sons wanted to use the same soap that Grandpa used." And so my point is, when your son is there to watch you use whatever color soap you use, the influence is unimaginable. When your daughters are there to watch your wife grab the green soap or the blue soap or whatever soap she uses, the influence is unimaginable. And so I would suggest, as we walk this walk through life, we do everything we can to A, make certain that we have the confidence to take the next steps ourselves so that our kids exude that same confidence, and that we have the capacity to stay committed to whatever relationship we're in, because those relationships are passed on to future generations that will either benefit from them or not. Today's Dr. Phil moment. It's incredibly important stuff. Should I grab him? Mr. Mangino. Oops, sorry. Mangino, brother.
Hey, I want to tell you all about this blood drive going on right now. This is so critically important. We are dealing with a blood shortage across the entire country, and we're feeling the effects right here in Pittsburgh. The amazing hospitals that we have here, the treatment that we can provide people, we are limited by how much blood we have. If we don't have the blood, we can't help. Surgeries can't be performed. People who are going through cancer treatments right now that need the blood in order to get the treatments to keep on going. You can help make a difference. Stop on by. It's happening right now. Foster Plaza, Building 4. Plug it into your GPS, 501 Holiday Drive. 501 Holiday Drive in Greentree. The blood drive is going on until 6. It's a big competition against KDKA Radio and 93.7 The Fan. Prizes to be given away by the end of the day. Please, if you can give blood, stop on by once again till 6 tonight.
Go get them, Angino. Good stuff, brother. I want to get to this today. I find this fascinating. Hey, by the way, T, I wanted to mention this to you. You know, my dear friend Jennifer, who listens every day, I didn't get to mention this earlier. I was talking about maybe I should cut an album, you know, in my with my voice. Because I have a kind of a Luther Vandross kind of a sound going. She said, T, if I cut an album, she's buying it. She's buying it. Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you. We'll let you know when it's going to be out. Mostly a lot of streaming, because that's what the artists like myself are doing now. We're streaming. It's fascinating what's happened in that business. There's a piece in the Forbes magazine over the weekend. So back in the day, an artist cuts an album. You go to the store, you buy the album, everybody goes home. Now, a lot of them don't even cut albums. They just put the songs online and stream them. And then when you play them, wherever you're playing them, Spotify, wherever it ends up being, they get a penny. Now, you think that's not a lot of money. But if you're The Weeknd, who's an unbelievable singer, if I might not say, just smooth, just soulful. Anyway, I think he's from Ethiopia, discovered in Canada on YouTube. That's the minutia of it. But The Weeknd had 3.2 billion streams. 3.2 billion folks listened to his songs online, okay, through streaming apps. That's $70 million. That's the deal. That's where the money's being made. It's amazing how the business has changed dramatically. I wanted to read this as well. This is bizarre to me. You want me to grab Bill? Bill want to buy the album too? He wants to produce it. I sing just like Luther or The Weeknd, similar. Yo.
Luther Vandross, really?
And The Weeknd.
Oh, come on, man. You're like Lex Luthor.
The Weeknd.
Here. Come on. What have you been drinking this morning?
Coffee.
Marty.
You buying it when I release it? Or if I stream it, will you download it?
You got it, man. I'll buy it.
I can tell a soul. I could sing, man. But no one has to know Luther. People out there saying, George, who is Luther? What's The Weeknd? Last Weeknd? Ha! The streaming, just to tell you where our business is headed. So let's use an actor, so-called actor, Adam Sandler, okay? So he's a horrible actor. Now, people like his movies because they're so bad that they watch them. So I thought he was DOA. I really did. I thought his career was done. I thought his movies got so bad. The last several movies he made bombed. Now, this is, again, how our business is changing dramatically. And when I say our business, I include the radio business. It's amazing what's happening in radio and television. So Adam Sandler signs a deal with Netflix. Now, Netflix is the place now where everybody's watching content that is streaming. Streaming meaning you just call it up at home and you watch it, bam, or on your iPad or your cell phone and you pay. Adam Sandler. Now, think about Adam Sandler, The Wedding Singer. What's that goofy golfing movie he made? He has this bizarre cult following. They call him watching his movies a guilty pleasure. In other words, adults sit around and say, you want to watch something really horrible? Watch an Adam Sandler movie. So, according to Forbes magazine, through this streaming, and this is what's happening to these businesses, the record industry and now the movie business, he has a $250 million 4-year deal. because his movies, Adam Sandler's, are downloaded and watched more than any movie on Netflix. Fascinating. For folks who don't understand what's happening in the business, sometimes I think I don't, but it's happening more rapidly than you could ever imagine. Think about Facebook in your life. If you use it, everybody uses it. 1.5 billion people a month. 1.5 billion. Are there 8 billion people in the entire world? It's the most powerful media source in history, honestly, and the money being spent. So let's talk about money briefly, and I'm giving you a brief synopsis of what's happening in our world as we watch it happen right in front of us. More money being spent on digital advertising than on radio, television, and newspapers combined. Facebook, 1.5 billion people. 1.5 billion people. It's insane. Mangino, go ahead, buddy.
Marty, one more time, I want to remind everybody, Big Blood Drive going on today all the way through till 6 o'clock this evening. It's KDKA Radio versus 93.7 The Fan. We're doing our best to drive up blood donations today because we are in a critical need at this point, not only here in Pittsburgh, but all over the country for blood. Whether you have people who are going in for surgeries, transfusions, cancer treatment, blood is needed, and the elements in it are critically needed. And we need you to step up and give blood if you're able to. So please stop on by. Here's the location, 501 Holiday Drive. That's 501 Holiday Drive in Greentree. Plug it into your GPS. It's building number 4 in Foster Plaza. Once you get into the parking lot, signs all over the place. You won't miss it. You come in and you're back out inside of an hour. And that's everything from the hello to the paperwork to the little medical test before you start, the donating of the blood, the recovery, and then you're back on your way. Just 1 hour can save up to 3 people's lives. I hope so much that you have time to be able to stop on by, give today until 6 o'clock. Thanks a lot, Marty.
It's good stuff. Thank you, Mr. Mangino. It's a wonderful, wonderful cause. All right, folks, we'll be right back. So check this out. So on certain campuses around the country, listen to this. Political agitation on campus can be hard work, and its rigors deserve to be recognized when professors are handing out students' grades. Believe it or not, that's a new theme at several schools of supposedly higher education where students have erupted. Evergreen State College, where biology professor Brett Weinstein was harassed and advised by police to stay home after he opposed a racially segregated day of absence in which whites were told to stay off campus. The student haranguing was extreme enough that Evergreen President George Bridges was apparently not free to go to the restroom on his own, as Evergreen facilities engineer Rich Davis put in an email obtained by the Wall Street Journal. But far from punishing students for such behavior, interim Evergreen Provost Kenneth Tabbitt wrote, "Student protesters have diverted time and energy from their academic work to promote institutional change and social justice. Professors have discretion on student evaluations," he added. "So, I am asking that you consider the physical and emotional commitment the students have made and consider accommodations for that effort, including the learning that is going on outside of your program." Wow. In recent years, administrators at Columbia, the new school, and elsewhere have also encouraged grading concessions for students who chose protests over mere book learning. At Oberlin, some 1,300 students unsuccessfully petitioned the school president for no failing grades for activists. Oberlin's Black Student Union has also demanded an $8.20 an hour stipend for student protesters' continuous organizing efforts. Today's millennial activists aren't likely to behave better if the punishment for antisocial or violent behavior is a higher GPA. The Wall Street Journal. I'm all about kids learning. I'm all about kids being active. I'm all about peaceful protest. I think it's wonderful. But I'll tell you right now, if I'm paying $60,000 for my son to go to school, he's going to class. If he wants to protest and get involved, he's just going to be following in the footsteps of his father, who has used his voice to protest what I believe to be social injustice from the time I had the opportunity to speak into a microphone. However, if I'm going to spend $200,000 for my kid to go to college, he's going to go to college. He's going to go to class. And if colleges are now saying that students who are out protesting and not going to class should be paid for protesting, all of those millennials sitting on the couch tweeting and twerking and twittering and whatever else they do will want paid. Good luck with that one, Mom and Dad, when the grades come home. Good luck with that one.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.